إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our second session, reading from Ashru Qawaid fi Tazkiyat al-Nafs, my Shaykh Abdul Razak, son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad. Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. Before we go into the topic for tonight, which is the first principle that the Shaykh mentions from the principles related to purification of the soul. Before we do that, we want to just quickly review some of what we covered last week in the first session. In the introductory session. So we're going to look at the questionnaire study guide for lecture number one. First question being the title of the book in Arabic and English. Ya Umar, na'am. And the meaning of it in English?
10 principles.
Purifying the nafs. What is the nafs? Soul. So the title of the book, he tells us the topic pretty clearly, Ashru Qawaid, 10 principles. The Shaykh has chosen 10 principles, 10 important factors or elements related to tazkiyat al-nafs, the purification of the soul. We're going to talk about that a little bit, inshallah, tonight. The second question mentioned the author's name, including the name of his father. Any other than Umar? Nobody in the back? Author's name? Naam, Abu Bakr. Sheikh Abdul Razak Al-Abad. His father? Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. Tayyib. Al-Abad Al-Badr. Hafidhahum Allah. May Allah protect and preserve both of them. Question number three. Mention the year.
I have a question.
Yes.
Al-Badr, is it for his father or is it for
Al-Badr? That's their family. That's one of their family names.
Okay.
But actually, the original family name that was used was Al-Abad. But the Sheikh, the son, he didn't like to use this name, so he used another of their family name, Al-Badr. Naam. Wallahu a'lam. Question number three. Mention the year and place of birth, including city, province, and country, for the Sheikh. His year of birth and place of birth. Naam. Abdul Haq.
22nd of
Dhul-Qa'dah, 1382 Hijriya,
Al-Zulfi,
Al-Riyadh, in Saudi Arabia. Fourth question, mention, these questions are related to the author of the book, right? Just brief summary concerning the author. Mention three of the authors, Hafidhullah, most well-known teachers, three of his most well-known teachers. Musa, I'm sorry. My brain is slow today. Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz, rahimahullah. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. His father, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad, al-Badr. Question number five. Mention three of the authors, Hafidhullah, most well-known books. Three of his most well-known books. We should know a lot of his books because we have studied some of them, right? Naam, Ibrahim. Ta'zim al-Salat. Naam. Al-Fiqh, Al-Ad'iyya wal-Adhkar. Naam. The fiqh, the understanding of the supplications and words of remembrance. Naam. What else? Naam, Waleed.
Explanation of
explanation of exemplary principles by Shepherd and Sahib.
Naam, explanation of exemplary principles. Al-Qawaid al-Muthla, related to the names of Allah and His Sifat, by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Naam.
Explanation of good words, by Shaykh ibn
Salih. Explanation of? Oh, good words, yeah, kalimat tayyib, naam, by Shaykh al-Islam al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Naam, what else?
Al-Wasiyyat
al-Sughra. Yani explanation of it. Explanation of Wasiyyat al-Sughra. Wasiyyat al-Sughra is by who? Shaykh ibn Taymiyyah also, naam. What else? Any other book? Yani naam. Al-Adab al-Mufrad. Yani the book of Imam Bukhari. Explanation of it. Naam.
Makhasir
al-Hajj. Naam, the goals and objectives of Hajj and so on. Yani a lot of books. Yani he has like really a large amount of books. Most of them, many of them explanations, some of them that he's written himself. Naam. Question number 6. Okay, now we're going into the topic, introduction to the book. Discuss how the Qasam, the oath or swearing of Allah in Surah Shams, 91st Surah, Ayats 1 through 10 shows the importance of the nafs. Yani how is Allah's swearing in this surah shows the importance of the nafs? How does it show the importance of the nafs? Now, Abdul Ha.
Allah by swearing by these greater creatures.
Now, Allah in His swearing by these makhluqat
is to point out the greatness of Allah who created
those things in the creation, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by in this surah, they actually indicate the greatness of Allah. And so those things, how do they indicate the greatness of Allah? Because they are great creations, makhluqat, kibar, dala ala azamatihi. These things that Allah is swearing by from His creation are from the greatest of the things that He has created, which point to His greatness. And how does that show the greatness of the nafs?
Yeah, and Allah starts by swearing by those great creatures and finish by the swearing by the nafs.
And he finished from those great creations, he finished by swearing by the nafs, which also shows its greatness.
By saying wa nafsi wa
nasawa. Uh-huh.
So the nafs and the soul, and by swear by the soul and the one or the one who created it.
Naam.
One who shaped it.
Okay.
And by the end, Allah says that قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّاهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا, which is the center of...
This is the thing that Allah, yani the statement that Allah is making, He's swearing by all these things over the truthfulness of this statement concerning the nafs that will be successful, as well as the nafs that will not be successful. Naam, Ibrahim.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swearing by these great, magnificent, enormous creations,
uh-huh,
and then making a statement about the nafs.
And then making a statement about the nafs.
The one who treats the good by increasing a lot of khayr, and he will be of the ones who are successful, and the one who covers it with ma'asiyah, with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be.
Now, we're going to talk about this in a little bit more detail in the final question and the further questions, but the point is here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing upon this, the affair of the nafs. Yani which one will be successful and which one, yani, will be a failure and why. And this is a very important statement that he's making. He's swearing about the truthfulness of the statement by these great, yani, things that he has created in the creation, including the nafs itself. Now, in any case, the important thing here for us to focus on is that indeed these ayat show the greatness of the nafs and the importance of the statement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making here, that He's swearing upon. And that is that indeed the nafs, yani, the one who purifies their nafs, that one has been successful. And the one who, yani, corrupts it and pollutes it, that one, that is the one that will be a failure. Yani. And of course we know what that means. Success means person will enter Jannah, and failure means person will be punished in the hellfire. After this, question number 7, discuss briefly what is meant by purifies it. In the ayat, the meaning of which is, indeed, he has succeeded who purifies it, the soul. Yani, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. What is meant by, yani, زَكَّاهَا. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Waleed.
So the Shaykh talked about zakah, which means the origin meaning. The origin is that
Now, the original meaning of zakat in this ayah, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The meaning of zakat, zakat in this ayah, the original meaning of it, or the core meaning of it is زيادة الخير, increase in good. Now,
obedient act and to do good deeds and to stay away from the sin. This is the one who purifies himself.
Yani, so the meaning in this ayat of yani zakat or ziyadat al khair, it means that the one who strives, who makes tremendous effort, naam sa'a, naam, yani to purify himself and to yani rectify the soul and to elevate the soul by doing yani an increase in ta'at and khayrat and avoiding distancing oneself from ashurur wa sayyi'at. Yani the person who's doing acts of obedience and the person who's doing all kind of good deeds and the person who's avoiding distancing themselves from all types of evil and disobedience to Allah, this person this person has realized, achieved yani the reality of yani success. Naam. So this is very important, yani, to understand what is meant here, because sometimes when we read the Quran, we might not really understand the fullness of the meaning of the ayat. Even when we read the translation, probably much is missing, and really it requires the tafsir. Sheikh here has given us some kind of tafsir of what is intended by this ayat, what is really meant by it. By purifying the nafs, it means that the person strives in doing good and acts of obedience and avoiding sin and evil deeds, strives to purify the nafs. To rectify the nafs, to elevate the nafs, is making an effort to do so. This is the person who will be successful now. Okay, he's saying in the English translation, the sixth ayah, it skipped the sixth ayah. So please make note of that. Anybody reading from the English translation, sixth ayah has not been translated. Yani, left out any typing mistake or something like this now. Allahumma musta'an. Tayyib, after this, question number 8. Discuss briefly what is meant by corrupts it in the ayat. Indeed, he has failed. He has failed. Who corrupts it? Yani corrupts the soul. And this is in the same surah, next ayat. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. What is meant by corrupts it? دَسَّاهَا. What is the meaning of دَسَّاهَا in this particular ayat? Naam Ibrahim. Now, yani, the also of dasaha tadsiya, what is meant by this? Yani the one who corrupts it, yani who pollutes it, what is meant by it? He said the asl of it is al ikhfa, ikhfa, to hide something, to cover it. Now,
and he is covering it because he's saying that this honorable soul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, he has covered it with ma'asiyah.
The sinful person covers his noble soul by committing acts of Atham, sins, by committing sins. And further he said he has buried it. Yani he has buried it with radha'il and khasa'is. Yani with vile, lowly, yani behavior, actions. And he said further he has distanced it from its real intent and destroyed it. Aklakaha. Aklakaha bi what? Bi fi'li al-uyub. Yani by those acts or those behaviors that are blameworthy. So the person, yani, who engages in sin and disobedience and vile and evil and low behavior, this person covers their noble soul. They cover it and they bury it and they destroy it by this kind of behavior. And this is very important to know that whenever we engage in such behavior, may Allah save us from such, then we are destroying the noble soul that Allah has created. Yani the lofty soul that Allah intended, we are destroying it. We are corrupting it. We are polluting it. Naam. Naam. So and this is a very important point that I didn't bring out last week, but I want to make the point here. I mean, we mentioned it, but I didn't emphasize it. As a result of that kind of behavior and covering the soul becomes lowly, despicable, vile. فَاسْتَحَقَّ بِذَلِكَ الْعُقُوبُ الْعَقَابُ. Yani, so yani, the point is here, what? That because of this kind of behavior and what we're destroying, this corruption, pollution of the soul becomes lowly, despicable, vile, And it then deserves punishment. It deserves to be punished. It deserves al-khayba, to fail. It deserves a khusran, loss, to be at loss. Yani to lose out. It deserves that. Notice though, in the previous statement, the Shaykh said, yani tahaqqaqa al-falah, or falah. He said, that person has definitely achieved it. In this ayah, in this statement, he said, tastahaqqa, deserves it. He didn't say they will definitely be punished. He said they deserve it. And there's a difference, because the promise of Allah, the wa'ad, will be fulfilled. As far as the wa'id, Allah may punish if He wills, He may forgive if He wills. And this is from the aqeed of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The difference between wa'ad and wa'id. When Allah promises, He will definitely fulfill. When Allah threatens, He may fulfill His threat, or He may pardon and forgive as much as He wills anything other than the person who dies upon shirk. And we're going to talk about that in detail tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. After this question, memorize a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ clearly states that the nafs has a right over the Muslim. Now, duha. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.
Inna li rabbika alayka haqqan, inna li nafsika alayka haqqan, wa li ahlika alayka haqqan.
Fa'ati kulla nafs. Fa'ati kulla dhi haqqin. Now, yani this statement here, I think Ibrahim asked in the end of the class last week about this statement. And in the hadith that's narrated in Bukhari, the hadith is of related to Salman, a statement of Salman, that the Prophet ﷺ said, Sadaqa Salman. That was the hadith that I had remembered. Allahumma sta'an. The story that we narrated last week from the hadith in Bukhari, and in that, Salman said, indeed, your Rabb has a right over you, and your nafs has a right over you, and your family has a right over you. So give everyone that has a right, give it its right. Ibrahim asks, is that a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And I said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed it. And I said, perhaps also it's narrated marfu'an. It was vague in my memory, but I did go back and check, and it is narrated marfu'an, but a different story related to the same type of subject. It's reported in the Sunan Abu Dawud and Ahmed and others, and the isnad is sahih. Shaykh al-Bani said it's sahih. In that narration, the Prophet was speaking to Uthman ibn Mad'un, and he said to him, are you not desirous of my sunnah? And he said, wallahi, I'm desirous of your sunnah. It is the sunnah that I desire. Okay, everybody doesn't need to get up, right? Inshallah, one or two brothers can take care of this small matter. Allahu musta'an. In that narration, the narration of Abu Dawood, where the Prophet ﷺ is actually speaking, hadith marfu'un to Uthman ibn Mad'un, radiallahu anhu, he said similarly, but he said, فَإِنَّ لِأَحْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَلِضَيْفِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ. So the same statement, وَإِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقٌّ, came in another narration that's marfu and attributed to the Prophet. A different story though, a different companion. And the Prophet said similarly, except that he said that your family has a right, and your guests have a right, and your nafs has a right. Your nafs has a right. So it is actually narrated marfu from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not only the statement of Salman that the Prophet affirmed, but actually it came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. In the hadith in Sunan of Abu Dawud and Musnad of Imam Ahmed and others. Okay, the last question was question number 10. Highlight five of the qawaid, principles concerning purification of the soul contained in this book. We mentioned them quickly in the end of the class, and we just want to quickly mention a few of them. From amongst those principles that we're going to cover in this class, Musafa first. The Quran. What about the Quran? What is the Quran? He said, the manba, the source, the source, like a spring that water flows from. It's the source for purification of the soul. Now, the tawheed. What about tawheed? That is the aslu. It's the foundation through which souls are purified. That's two. A dua. What about the dua? Miftah. The dua is the key for purification of the soul. Calling upon Allah. Another one? That's three. Two more. Taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qudwa, uswa, hasana. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, taking him as our example and model. And one more, beautifying yourself with what? Yani, one of them, yeah, he said takhliya and tahliya. Yani the removal of the evil characteristics and adorning oneself with good. Now, remembrance, tadhakkur al-maut wa liqa' Allah. The remembrance of death and the meeting with Allah and others that he mentioned. We just want to kind of like, huh? Ma'rifat al-nafs was the last one that he mentioned, knowing the nafs. And yani, these are some principles, yani elements related to tazkiyat al-nafs that we're going to discuss in detail bi idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, tonight we want to take the first yani qa'ida. I don't know, what page is it on in the English translation? Page 7. And the Arabic is on page 9. On page 9. 7 in the English translation, Arabic on page 9. Al-qa'idatu al-ula. The first principle, the first factor, the first element related to tazkiyat al-nafs is at-tawheedu, yani at-tawheed, aslu ma tazku bihi an-nufus. An-nufus. Yani at-tawheed, it is the foundation through which yani the nufus, the souls, are purified. It is the foundation. And of course, keeping in mind, brothers and sisters, that the foundation is the most important thing, right? Because if the foundation is strong, whatever you build upon it, it may last. But if the foundation is weak, no matter what you build upon it, how well you build it, if the foundation is weak, it's going to fall, it's going to collapse. So the foundation is the most important thing. And the foundation for whatever you do, every means that you take and everything that you utilize for purification of the soul, the foundation that it must be built upon is Tawheed. If Tawheed is not in order, then whatever you do after that is useless. It's in vain. Okay, so this is, yani shows, even though we've been talking about Tawheed, when we talked about, yani the Islah al-Mujtama. And everything that we talk about, we're going to go back to Tawheed, because that's the foundation of Islam. And the core of everything. It's the essence. Okay? But here, the Shaykh is starting with this because what? Because whatever we do, whatever work, whatever effort that we make for tazkiyat al-nafs, it will never bear any fruit if it's not built upon the foundation of at-tawheed. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to talk a little bit about this. And the Shaykh is going to mention first 5 points, yani which show the station, the status, the importance of at-tawheed, and how we should be looking at this tawheed. The first point he makes, he says, إِنَّ التَّوْهِيدَ هُوَ الْغَايَةِ. التَّوْهِيد is the غاية. The غاية, the goal, the objective. And for which Allah created the human being, the man and jinn. إِنَّ التَّوْهِيد هُوَ الْغَايَةِ أَلَّتِي مِنْ أَجْلِهَا خَلَقَنَا اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَأَوْجَدَنَا. Yani it is the goal, the objective for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us and brought us into existence. He created us and brought us into existence for this, for the realization, the achievement of Tawheed. This is the very purpose of the creation of the human being, the Ghaya. And then the Shaykh mentioned the ayat. But before mentioning the ayat, I want to say, in the tafsir of Jalalain, an interesting point is made. This is the objective, this is the goal. He says, وَلَا يُنَافِي ذَلِكَ عَدَمْ عِبَادَةُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And the fact that the disbelievers do not worship Allah, even though that's the goal, that doesn't negate it being the goal. It's still the goal, even if it's not achieved for them, because they decided not to worship Allah. And he said, this is because لأن الغاية لا يلزم وجودها. الغاية لا يلزم وجودها. يعني, the fact that something is a goal or an objective doesn't mean that it will be achieved. يعني, for some people, Tawheed will not be achieved. The people who decide not to worship Allah. Or the people who mix their Tawheed, their Iman, with Shirk. And ma'asiyah, and so on. So anyway, he said, this is the goal. Even if it's not achieved by some people, and the point is that it is for the believer, for the Muslim, to strive to make every effort to achieve this goal for which Allah created us and brought us into existence. And the proof of this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, in Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 56th Ayat, وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ. Yani, I have not created the jinn and man except to worship me. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's saying, I have not created the man and jinn except to worship, meaning the very purpose for which I've created the jinn and the ins is for this, to worship me alone. Yani, and some of the scholars of tafsir said that Allah created the human being to worship him for this purpose. He didn't create anything in the creation because he was in need of it. So let us remember that Allah is Al-Ghani. He is without need. He's even without need of our worship. Whoever doesn't worship Him, Allah is free of need. But whoever worships Him, then they will be only serving their own yani interests and well-being. This is the first thing. It is the ghaya, the purpose, the very goal for which we have been created. Number two, he said, وَهُوَ أَيْضًا مِحْوَرُ دَعْوَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالرُّسُولِ Yani that the tawheed, it is the core, the heart, the thing around which everything of the call of the prophets and messengers centers. It all centers around yani at-tawheed, the da'wah of the prophets and the messengers. Its core, its heart, its essence, the thing that it pivots around is a tawheed. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the 16th surah, 36 ayat, surah An-Nahl. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ That indeed we have created, or we have missioned, I'm sorry, بَعَثْنَا We have missioned or sent in every ummah, in every nation that came in the earth. Yani meaning, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this ummah, likewise to every nation before He sent prophets and messengers. Same way. لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا A messenger. And that messenger, yani what they were sent saying, worship Allah. Command the people, worship Allah and avoid the taghut, the things that are worshipped or that are obeyed or that are followed other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His legislation and that which He sent through the prophets and messengers. Here, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he says in this ayat, لَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا Yani that He sent to every nation a Rasul. كُلُّهُمْ مُتَّفِكُونَ عَلَى دَعْوَةٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَدِينٍ وَاحِدٍ Every one of them that was sent were in agreement upon one call and upon one deen. وَهُوَ عِبَادَةُ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ And what is that call and what is that deen? It is the worship of Allah alone without making any partners for Him. To every nation was sent a messenger and this is what they all agreed. This was their call and this was the deen, the core of the deen that they called the people to. Number three, he says, وَالتَّوْهِيدْ هُوَ أَوَّلُ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ لِلدُّخُولِ فِي دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ Tawheed is the first thing that's obligatory upon the person in order for a person to enter into the deen of Islam. And no one can enter into Islam except the first obligation upon them is the acknowledgement, the acceptance of a tawheed. And when we say tawheed, we mean, yani, that which is inseparable from it. Also, right? And what's inseparable from it is the risala of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani, a person enters Islam by shahadatain, the statement of la ilaha illallah and the statement of Muhammad Rasulullah. So when we say tawheed, you enter Islam by tawheed, and that which is inseparable from it is the messengership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's inseparable. And there's no such thing as a person acknowledge that there's nothing deserving of worship except Allah, and they don't accept the Prophet Muhammad. That's impossible. They haven't entered Islam. He said, the first thing that is obligatory upon the human being to enter into the deen of Islam is it as a tawheed. And the fourth thing he said, وَكَذَلِكَ هُوَ أَوَّلُ مَا يَجِبُ عَلَى الدَّاعِيَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَنْ يُعَلِّمُهُ لِلنَّاسِ And likewise, a tawheed, it is the first thing that's obligatory upon the one who's calling to Allah Azza wa Jalla to teach it to the people. The first thing that's obligatory to teach it to people. The first thing that's obligatory to teach it to people is not wudu and salat. It is tawheed. Naam. Sure, a person enters Islam, they have to know how to make salat, right? They have to know how to purify themselves. But the first thing is that they have to know what is tawheed. Even if in brief, they have to know what is tawheed. Because otherwise, if they start making salat and they didn't know tawheed, maybe, as we found in real life, I myself met a Muslim one time who said he believes Jesus is the Son of God. He took shahada, nobody explained to him that tawheed negates whatever you believed before that, of anything being worshipped besides Allah. And then we had to sit down and have a discussion. And he had been a Muslim for some time, not 3 days or 3 weeks. Nobody had told him about this. He had not studied tawheed. It was not explained. It wasn't clear to him. Especially, really, actually, from what the Prophet ﷺ has taught us, and I'm not going to get sidetracked with this, but he has also taught us that if a person enters Islam, and that person is a Christian, then part of their entry into Islam has to be to bear witness that Isa alayhi salam is Abdullah wa Rasuluh. Naam. They have to know that. Because they have to negate what they came in believing before they enter into Islam. They can't just acknowledge Tawheed and acknowledge the messengers of Muhammad and hold on to what is before that. Because Tawheed requires negation of the worship of anything besides Allah, along with the affirmation of worship for Allah alone. And la ilaha illallah. وكذلك, the first thing that is obligatory upon the da'iyah to Allah Azza wa Jalla is to teach يعني the people at Tawheed. كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لمعاذ بن جبل رضي الله عنه عندما بعثه إلى اليمن. يعني this is as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Mu'adh bin Jabal رضي الله عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, a great scholar from amongst Sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم sent him to Yemen, he said إنك تقدم على قوم من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إلى أن يوحد الله تعالى. That indeed you are going, and some of the narrations say, إنك تأتي قوما, يعني تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب. يعني you are going forward to a people from the people of the book. And this, and there are a lot of يعني wisdoms that the scholars يعني mention concerning this hadith. From amongst them is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed him about the people that he's being sent to, something about them. Yani one of the most important things about those people, they were Ahl Kitab. And that's important to know. These people are Christians. These people are Jews. These people are Hindus. You have to know when you're going to the people what they are upon, so that when you call them, you know how to call them. He told them, you're going to a people, قَوْمٍ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. So make the first thing that you must call them to must be yani the Tawheed of Allah. And يُوَحِّدَ Allah Ta'ala. The first thing that you call them to be should be the Tawheed of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And this tells us something about the manhaj of da'wah, the proper manhaj of da'wah. What does it start with? It starts with tawheed. It doesn't start with the proof of the excellence and superiority of the economic system in Islam. That's not what it starts with. It doesn't start with how Islam is able to rehabilitate drug addicts and alcoholics and prostitutes. That's not what it starts with. But rather it starts with a tawheed. This is the proper way to give da'wah, that we center our da'wah around a tawheed. And if the people accept that, then after that comes other things. The Shaykh also says, and this is the last point that he mentions concerning a tawheed. He says, I mean, any of these matters, وَقَدْ تَوَعَدَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى الَّذِينَ لَا يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهَمْ بِالتَّوْهِيدِ وَالْإِيمَانِ بِالْعَذَابِ الشَّدِيدِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has threatened those who do not purify themselves with a tawheed or through a tawheed and iman. He has threatened those who do not purify themselves, their souls, with tawheed and iman. He has threatened them with yani a severe punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah. On Yawm al-Qiyamah. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. Yani wail is a word of yani azab. Kalimat azabin. Yani wail means yani they say woe, but the meaning of it is woe, yani beware of the punishment, the azab. The azab. Wailun lil mushrikeen. Yani there's punishment going to be for the mushrikeen, the pagans who worship other things along with Allah or instead of Allah. Alladhina la yu'tuna az-zakata وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. The mushrikeen, those who do not يُعْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, yani who do not come with the zakat, and they will be in the akhirah, and they are those who disbelieve in the akhirah. Yani they don't believe in the next life. They don't believe in judgment, accounting, reward and punishment in the next life. The disbeliever, the mushrikeen, those who didn't come with the zakat, and they did not believe in the hereafter. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. This is in Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, 6th and 7th Ayat. Okay, just quickly, I want to just go back a little bit in this Ayat, 6th and 7th Ayat, because the Shaykh, he mentions the end of the 6th Ayat, and then he mentions the 7th Ayat. The beginning of the 6th Ayat is really important in relation to the subject, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kul innama ana basharun mithlukum." And he's ordering the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say to the people that indeed I am only a human being like you, except yuha ilayya annama ilahukum ilahun wahid. The difference between me and you, though I am also a human being, is that revelation has been given to me. It has been revealed to me that your ilah is one ilah, that there is only one that deserves worship, creator of the heavens and earth. فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ. And then he said, وَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُشْرِكِينَ. Yani, so Allah in the beginning of this ayah says to the Prophet ﷺ, he orders him to say, verily I'm a human being just like you, except that revelation has been given to me, has been revealed to me that your ilah is one ilah, therefore take a straight path to him. فَاسْتَقِيمُوا إِلَيْهِ. Yani, take a straight path to him, meaning, as Shaykh As-Sa'di said, travel as-sirat al-muwassil ila Allah ta'ala bi tasdeeq al-khabar alladhi akhbar bihi wa tiba' al-amr wa ijtinab al-nahi wa dawam ala dhalika. Yani, take a straight path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by confirming the truthfulness of the information that he came with, the news that he brought, and following the command and avoiding that the prohibition and being consistent in doing so, in being consistent in doing so. فَاسْتَقِيمْ إِلَيْهِ. And he also said that إِلَيْهِ, yani take a straight path to Allah, is notifying us of the importance of going to Allah, meaning with ikhlas, to Allah alone, yani turning to Allah alone. And then he said, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ, and seek His forgiveness for whatever we fall short in our attempt to take the straight path to Allah. And then after that he said, that being said, he said, and wail lil mushrikeen, and punishment for the pagans, those who do not bring the zakat, and those who disbelieve in the hereafter. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says concerning this ayat specifically, الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, those who do not come or bring or give the zakat. في تفسير الآية السابقة, he said, يعني الزَّكَاةِ in this ayat here, التوحيد والإيمان. الزَّكَاةِ here doesn't mean those who didn't give charity, يعني money, gold and silver and dollars. No, the meaning of zakat here, the mushriks who disbelieve in the hereafter, who didn't come with the zakat, he said, as zakat means at-tawheed wal-iman alladhi bihi yazku al-qalbu. Yani, the tawheed and the iman through which or by which the heart is purified. Tawheed and iman is the means through which the heart is purified. Notice he said here, heart, al-qalb, and we're talking about nafs, right? Tazkiyat al-nafs, and there's no difference between them here. Yani, the meaning here means the core being of the human being. The qalb, the nafs, represents here the same thing. That it is the heart, the nafs, is purified through iman and tawheed. فَإِنَّهُ, why is it purified through tawheed? Ibn Taymiyyah says, فَإِنَّهُ يَتَضَمَّنُ نَفِي إِلَهِيَةِ مَا سِوَى الْحَقِّ مِنَ الْقَلْبِ, because it entails within it, yani this tawheed and iman, it entails within it the negation of the worship of anyone besides Allah al-Haq. Yani, it means the negation of that, removing that from the heart. And at the same time, إِثْبَاتْ إِلَهِيَةِ الْحَقِّ فِي الْقَلْبِ, and the affirmation, the confirmation, the establishment of the worship of Allah al-Haq in the heart. So it entails, yani the tawheed, it contains within it the negation, the removal of the worship, removal from the heart of the worship of anything other than Allah, and the affirmation of the worship of Allah alone, yani in the heart. وَهُوَ حَقِيقَةِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And this meaning, yani the affirmation of ilahiyah for Allah alone, the affirmation of ilahiyah for Allah alone, and the negation of ilahiyah to other than Allah, he said, this is the reality of the meaning of La ilaha illallah. Because in this statement, La ilaha illallah, there's negation and affirmation, as he just said. Yani, there's negation of ilahiyah, and there's affirmation of ilahiyah for Allah alone. In La ilaha is the negation, La ilaha, the negation of ilahiyah, of uluhiyah, of ubudiyah, for other than Allah. Illallah is the affirmation, except for Allah. Yani, it's negated for other than Allah, and it's affirmed for Allah alone, that يعني the ilahiyya, uluhiyya, ubudiyya, it is for Allah alone. وَهَذَا عَصْلُ مَا تَزْكُو بِهِ الْقُلُوبِ. And this is the foundation through which the hearts, meaning the nufus, the souls of the human being, are purified through tawheed and iman. Similarly, Shaykh al-Islam, his student, Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said, most of the scholars of tafsir, from amongst the salaf and whoever came after them, they said, yani the zakat in this ayah is at-tawheed. Hiya at-tawheed. Yani shahada and la ilaha illallah wal-iman alladhi bihi yazku al-qalb. Wa huwa aslu kullu zakatin wa nama'in. Yani Ibn al-Qayyim says similarly that most of the scholars of tafsir from the salaf and those who came after them who followed in their way, yani they said that here is zakat, it's not money that you have to give, rather it is a tawheed. It is the bearing witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And iman, believing in Allah, through which the heart is purified. And this is the foundation of every zakat, of every purification, and every nama, every increase or growth. It is the foundation of it. And there will be no purification, there will be no growth and development of the nafs, except, yani, based upon this foundation, tawheed and iman, yani la ilaha illallah. After this, the shaykh, he goes to the other side of the matter, and that is ishirk. Yani after talking about tawheed and its importance, that it is the foundation of the whole affair, yani that it is what Allah created us for, it was the center, the core of the da'wah of the prophets and messengers, the first thing that a da'i has to teach the people, and this is what that through which the people enter Islam. Whoever doesn't bring it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threatens them with punishment. After that, he talks about the opposite. وَكَمَا أَنَّ التَّوْهِيدُ هُوَ أَصْلُ مَا تَزْكُو بِهِ النُّفُوسِ وَتَطْهُرُ فَإِنَّ الشِّرْكُ هُوَ أَشَدُّ مَا يُدَنِّسُ النُّفُوسِ وَيَفْتِقُ بِهَا. Yani just as tawheed is the foundation through which the souls are purified and cleansed, indeed, in the same way, shirk is the most severe of that which pollutes the souls and destroys the souls. بَلْ هُوَ مُحْبِتٌ لِجَمِيعِ الْعَمَالِ. Rather, it is that which makes invalid, yani cause to be lost, all of one's deeds. Yani it is shirk, cause all of one's deeds to be lost. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Az-Zumr, 39th Surah, 65th Ayat, لَقَدَ أُوْهِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and similarly in other ayahs in the Quran, he said it to all of the Prophets, yani the same meaning. He said, indeed, it has been revealed to you and to those before you, meaning the other Prophets and Messengers, yani all of them. لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ, indeed, if you had committed. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ didn't and wouldn't. But Allah is just saying, if, yani, if you had committed an act of shirk, yani, all of your deeds, عَمَلُكَ, yani, meaning, أَعَمَالُكَ, all of them would have been destroyed. Yani, caused to be invalid, would have been lost. And you would then have become from amongst the losers, الخاسرين. Yani, your deen, your dunya and your akhirah, all of it will be lost. And that is because a shirk destroys deeds. And it is due to shirk that a person is deserving of punishment, and that an example be made of them in that punishment. And as some of the nations before were destroyed, as an example for the people who came after them. Exemplary punishment. Yani, al-nakal. So here in this ayat, yani, the shaykh, he is saying that shirk is that which destroys one's deeds, na'am, لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ, and it also caused that person to be from amongst the losers. Likewise, concerning shirk, he says, وَهُوَ الذَّنْبَ الَّذِي لَا يَغْفُرُهُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَبَدًا. Note, بِشَرْط لِمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Very important statement the shaykh mentions here. Yani that shirk, about it, what shows its yani severity, it is the sin, the one sin which Allah will never forgive, abadan, liman mata alayhi, if a person dies upon it. If a person dies upon it. And this is a very important statement here for the shaykh to make, because some people might imagine that whoever commits shirk, Allah will never forgive it, abadan, no matter what. Not if they repent from it. If they repent, that's different. So he said here, liman mata alayhi. Yani Allah will never forgive shirk if a person dies upon it. This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani if a person dies upon shirk, they meet Allah as a mushrik, yani on yawm al-qiyamah. They died upon that shirk. Then in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani will not forgive them. But if a person repents with sincere repentance, then Allah accepts repentance. In that case, that will be removed from them. Here, the Shaykh mentions concerning this sin of shirk, the thing that Allah will never forgive if a person dies upon it. He said, كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى يعني سورة النساء, 4th surah, 48th ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. That Allah does not forgive that, يعني someone associates someone or something as an equal or partner with Allah, gives him a share of that which is the exclusive right of Allah, whether in worship or in other than that, whether in ubudiyyah or uluhiyyah or asma wa sifat. And whoever makes something as a partner, equal or share with Allah and that which is his exclusive rights, Allah doesn't forgive that. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ. And he forgives whatever is duna ذَلِكَ, yani less than shirk. And every other sin is less than shirk. Everything else that a person can do is less than shirk. So anything other than shirk, ma duna dhalik, Allah yaghfiru ma duna dhalik liman yasha. Yani to whoever he wills from amongst his servants. Ibn Kathir says in reference to this ayat, la yaghfiru li abdin. Yani Allah doesn't forgive, la yaghfiru li abdin laqiyahu wa huwa mushrikin bihi. Yani the one who meets him wa huwa mushrikin. Wow. Yani wow al-hal, while he is in a state of yani having been a mushrik, associating something with Allah. If a person meets Allah with that, yani as a mushrik, yani on yawm al-qiyamah they died upon shirk, then Allah will not forgive them. Next point Shaykh makes concerning shirk, showing the severity of this particular matter. وحرم الله عز وجل الجنة على كل من أشرك معه غيره. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram, forbidden, that a person enter Jannah, yani everyone who makes something as an equal or a partner with Allah, something other than Allah, they make it as an equal or partner with Him, Allah has forbidden that person to enter Jannah. As He said, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 72nd Ayat, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَا أَوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ. That indeed, whoever associates something as an equal or partner with Allah in ibadah or other than that from the exclusive rights of Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, then Allah has made it forbidden for that person to enter the Jannah. وَمَا أَوَاهُ النَّارِ, and his destination will be the hellfire. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارِ, and there will be no helpers for the ظَالِمِينَ. الظَّالِمِينَ here means the مُشْرِكِينَ. الظَّالِمِينَ, the مُشْرِكِينَ, they will have no helpers, no one who will be able to protect them from the punishment of Allah, who will be able to hold back the punishment of Allah, who will be able to save them from the punishment of Allah, or repulse any of that punishment which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down upon them. They will not have any helpers. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the people who commit shirk, that number one, He has made it forbidden for them to enter the Jannah. He has forbidden upon Himself to allow them to enter Jannah. And He has clarified also that so then if they don't enter Jannah, what? Ma'wahum an-nar. Then their destination will be the hellfire. And thirdly, He said, and they will not, the zalimeen, the mushrikeen, will not have anyone to help them on that day to protect them in any way. Shaykh Sa'di, he says, rahimahullah, ma'wahum an-nar, and their destination will be the hellfire, li'annahu sawa al-khalq bil-khaliq, because they have made equal the creation, they have made it equal to the Creator. How can the creation be equal to the Creator? This is their sin. وَصَرَفَ مَا خَلَقَهُ اللَّهُ لَهُ, and they have turned, yani directed what Allah created them to offer, yani ibadah al-khalisa, that He have created them to offer it for Him alone, they have turned it directed it to other than yani him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fastahaqqu an yakhluda fi an-nar, and for this reason they deserve to be in the hellfire eternally. They deserve to be in the hellfire eternally. The Shaykh, he then goes here, yani after mentioning these points concerning the shirk, how it invalidates all of one's deeds, is the sin that will never be forgiven. It will cause a person to be forbidden from entering the Jannah, and the destination will be the hellfire, in which case they will have no one to help them. فَإِذَا حَقَّقَ الْعَبْدَ التَّوْهِيدِ. So if the abd, the worshipper of Allah, realizes, actualizes the tawheed in their life, حَصَلَتْ لَهُ الزَّكَاةَ الْكَامِلَةَ, then this person will have achieved perfect and complete purification. وَحَصَلَتْ لَهُ الْهِدَايَةُ وَالْأَمْنُ التَّامَّانِ, and they will also have achieved two other things, that is الْهِدَايَةُ and الْأَمْنُ التَّامَّانِ, yani the complete and perfect guidance and the complete and perfect safety and security في الدنيا والآخرة, both in this world as well as in the next life. Yani the person who realizes Tawheed, not proclaims Tawheed on the tongue, rather actualize in their life Tawheed, then this person will achieve perfect purification of the nafs, and they will also have achieved perfect guidance and perfect safety and security in this world and the next. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, 82nd Ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُحْتَدُونَ. Yani those who believe, وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ, yani they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they didn't yalbisu, yani yakhlitu, they didn't mix up, their iman with ظُلْم. ظُلْم here means what again? The ظَالِمُون, the mushrikun, ظُلْم is shirk. So those who believed, and then they didn't mix up, didn't pollute their iman with shirk. And they said they believed, and then they avoided shirk. They didn't pollute their iman, they didn't yani mix it with shirk. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ الْأَمْنُ وَلَهُمْ وَهُمْ مُحْتَدُونَ. Then these are those who will have al-amnu, safety and security from the punishment, and they are the muhtadun, yani the people who have hidayah to the straight path, yani of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know how much time we have. We have still a few minutes. I just want to mention here tafsir of Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di concerning this very important ayat. Whoever wants to read it in detail, then read Kitab al-Tawheed and the explanations of the scholars of Sunnah of Kitab al-Tawheed by Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, which explains this subject in great detail. But in any case, here in brief, Shaykh Abdurrahman al-Sa'di says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا أَيَخْلِتُوا إِمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمُ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُحْتَدُونَ. Yani, they will have safety, al-amnu, from al-makhawif, that the fears, yani, of the harms that will come to them, wal-azab, wal-shaqa'a, yani, and the punishment and wretchedness, yani, being, yani, the losers, the people who be in the hellfire. Wal-hidayah ila siratul mustaqim, and they will also have al-amnu, they will have guidance to the straight path. Here the Shaykh makes a very important point, and we want to go to this point now because of its importance. If those people didn't mix their iman with zulm, mutlaqan, absolutely, they didn't do any shirk whatsoever in any of its forms, yani they completely protected their iman from shirk. Not only with shirk, but also ma'asi. They didn't pollute their iman with acts of sins and disobedience. حَصَلَ لَهُمْ الْأَمْنَ التَّامَ وَالْهِدَايَةَ التَّامَةَ. Then this is the one who will have perfect yani safety and perfect guidance. Yani the one who what? Didn't pollute their iman with any form of dhulm, not shirk, nor other acts of disobedience. وَإِنْ كَانُوا, but if that one didn't mix their iman with shirk alone, yani they didn't commit shirk, but maybe they committed other sins, yani they did some sayyat, then this person will have aslul hidayah. They will have some form of hidayah. They will have hidayah, but not necessarily al-hidayah tama, and they will have the asl of amn, yani some type of safety, but not complete, yani absolute safety. وَإِنْ لَمْ يَحْصُلْ لَهُمْ كَمَالُهُ, yani they will have some form of hidayah and some form of safety, even if they didn't have yani it in its totality. And what is understood from this ayat is that those who didn't achieve this yani hidayah and al-amnu, then these people, yani these are the people who have misguidance, and they will have yani an unhappy ending, yani when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the important thing here is, right, the people who believe, they must be careful not to mix up, pollute and corrupt their iman with dhulm, not shirk or other acts of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever fell short, then they should, like Allah mentioned yani in the other ayat, then they should yani take a straight way to Allah, and whatever we fall short in, what? Yani repent and seek Allah's forgiveness. After this, the Shaykh says, وَمَتَى أَخْلَصَ الْعَبْدُ الظُّلَّ لِلَّهِ وَالْمَحَبَّ لَهُ. So whenever yani the abd makes sincere, pure, exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, الظُّل yani humility, submissiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person surrendered himself completely to Allah, and al-mahabba for him, and they make the love for Allah pure for him alone, hasalat yani al-khasalat khalasat a'maluhu wa sahhat yani khalasat, then their deeds will be yani will be pure, and their deeds will be correct and whole. Naam. And then he says, and likewise, not only that, but also zakat nafsuhu. Their deeds, yani, will be pure and whole, and their nafs, their soul, will be purified, and it will be wholesome. Their soul, their deeds, and their self. وَمَتَى أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهَا مَا يَشُوبُهَا مِنْ شَوَاعِبِ الشِّرْكِ دَخَلَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ مِنَ الدَّنَسِ وَالتَّدْسِيَةِ بِحَسَبْ ذَلِكَ. So likewise, whenever the person yani does that which yashubuha, yani which corrupts or pollutes or contaminates their iman and their tawheed with the filth and dirt of shirk, whenever the person does that, then they will have entered upon their nafs yani filth and pollution and corruption in accordance with yani those things, those acts that they committed yani min from the filth of a shirk and sin and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that a person commits any act of shirk or any act of disobedience to Allah, to that extent they will have polluted and corrupted their nafs. And then the Shaykh closes with these two statements, فَلَا زَكَاتَ لِلنَّفْسِ إِلَّا بِتَحْقِيقِ التَّوْهِيدِ. Then there is no purification of the nafs except by the realization, the actualization of a tawheed. Yani making everything purely for the sake of Allah alone. One's deeds, every act of worship, love, heart, intent, yani seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be no zakat of the nafs except bi tahqiq al tawheed, except by the realization, the actualization, the implementation of tawheed, wa ifrad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bil ibadah, and singling out alone Allah for every act of worship, wa ikhlas al amal lahu, and making every deed that we do purely for Allah alone. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yani in Surah 2, Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 3rd Ayat, أَلَا لِلَّهِ الدِّينِ الْخَالِصِ. And isn't it that to Allah belongs الدِّينِ الْخَالِصِ, yani the pure deen, that Allah has the right of it, and no one else has a right to making the deen purely for Him alone. I want to quickly mention something here that Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di says concerning this ayat, أَلَا لِلَّهِ دِينَ الْخَالِصِ. Yani before that, Allah said, فَعَبُودِ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. Therefore, worship Allah, making the deen sincerely, purely, exclusively for Allah alone. And isn't it so that to Allah belongs الدِّينَ الْخَالِصِ, the pure deen. The Shaykh, he says, the meaning of this is that the person must make for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively the whole of his deen. The shara'i, al-zahira wal-batina, yani all of the things that Allah has legislated, which are done openly and those which are done inwardly. Outward actions and the actions of the heart. Al-Islam wal-Iman wal-Ihsan, the whole of it. Islam and Iman and Ihsan, making it all purely for Allah alone. And that is by singling out Allah alone for all of these things, for the Islam and the Iman and the Ihsan, and intending by all of that the face of Allah and having no other objective, no other intent other than this. And then Allah said, أَلَا لِلَّهِ دِينَ الْخَالِصِ. Isn't it so that the pure deen, making the deen for Allah alone, isn't that His right? This is the affirmation of the command to make the deen for Allah alone. And He said, this is a clarification that just as Allah alone has the whole of perfection, all of perfection belongs to Him, and all of the good that He has done for His servants in every aspect, however you want to look at it, it belongs to Allah alone. So likewise, making the deen purely for Allah alone, free from all of those defects and things that corrupt and pollute it, is the right of Allah alone. And that is the deen which Allah has made, that He is pleased with for Himself, and it is the deen that Allah is pleased with for the chosen of His creation, and this is what He has ordered them with, and this is because it contains the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means loving Him, fearing Him, and having hope in Him. And it includes al-inaba ilayhi fi ubudiyatihi, and inaba ilayhi fi tahsil al-mutalib ibadatihi. Yani it means that also turning to Allah alone in every act of worship, and turning to Allah alone for everything that we are seeking, that we are in need of. Every request should be, we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. And that is that which yuslihu al-kulub, wa yuzakkiha, wa yutahhiruha. This is, yani making the deen purely for Allah alone, is that which rectifies the hearts, and purifies the hearts, and cleanses the hearts, yani to the exclusion of shirk, making something, worshipping something, or making something as an equal or a sharer with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed Allah is free of this, and Allah has no part of it, and Allah is أَغْنَى شُرَكَى عَنِ الشِّرْكِ. He is the one of all those who are associated or who made partners. Yani Allah is the one who is free of need of any partner. And this is, yani this shirk, is that which pollutes the heart and corrupts the soul in this world and in the next life, and it causes the person to be of the wretched, yani the people who will be in the hellfire. وَلِذَلِكَ, and for this reason, Allah has commanded us with a tawheed and ikhlas, and He has prohibited us from shirk, and He has informed us of the blameworthiness of those who commit shirk. And the end of what the Shaykh says here, just as there is no purification of the soul except with the realization of tawheed and singling out Allah alone for worship and making every deed purely for Him alone, likewise, لَا زَكَاتَ لِلنَّفْسِ إِلَّا بِتَخْلِيسِهَا مِنَ الشِّرْكِ بِجَمِيعَ أَنْوَاعِهِ وَتَخْلِيسِهَا مِنْ كُلِّ مَا يُنَاقِدُ التَّوْهِيدُ وَيُضْعِفُهُ. This is the ending of this principle. Sheikh says, and likewise, there's no purification of the soul except making oneself completely free from shirk in all of its types. In all of its types. Major shirk, minor shirk, shirk in speech, shirk in action, shirk in intent, of all types of shirk. Making oneself completely free from it. And making oneself completely free from everything that yunaqid a tawheed, that contradicts a tawheed, and everything that weakens the tawheed. This is the only way that a person will have purification of the nafs. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said, and we're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.